Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today, too. Thanks for asking, and thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the lunar eclipse that happened on June 5th, 2020 at 3:13 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 15 degrees Sagittarius, 34 minutes, as the delivery day for the new moon that was on May 22nd, 2020 at 1:39 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 degrees Gemini, 5 minutes. In this show, we will also discuss the solar eclipse that will happen on June 21st, 2020 at 2:42 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 0 degrees Cancer, 21 minutes, as the new beginning of a 2-year, 2-month, and 28-day cycle with the theme of Father's Day. Listen as we explain how to use what is around us to understand what is within us. Eclipses are periods of alignment between the sun, moon, and earth, which may be seen as symbols for spirit, mind, and matter. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the changeless state of being. Swami, today's title of the show is Lunar and Solar Eclipses in June 2020. So why don't we start off by talking about what happened at the lunar eclipse on June 5th?
Yeah, last Friday we had the lunar eclipse. A lunar eclipse is when the sun, the earth, and the moon are aligned. The earth comes between the sun and the moon, symbolizing the shadow of matter appearing in mortal mind.
So let's talk more about that. You're talking about symbolizing the shadow. So what do you mean by the shadow?
Well, like we have been talking about, that the shadow is not the truth. The moon reflects the sun's light. The moon does not have light of its own. In fact, none of the planets that appear in the sky, other than the sun, have light of their own. They all reflect the sun. And just like what we have been talking here, that the human reflects the divine. We are made in the image and likeness of the divine. But if we accept this false sense of who we are, which is what we're calling the shadow of truth, then we're in the trap. We're in what's called the cycle of death and rebirth. And everything that we're doing is trying to liberate ourselves from this. And what we're finding is that it's all based on belief, which is also an interesting thing when you come to trying to understand astrology. Astrology is, a lot of it is really based on belief. When you look at it as an empirical science, sure, we know where the planets are, and they have predictability to them, but then the relationship between the movement of the celestial bodies and what's going on Earth can be interpreted many different ways.
So you're saying that the Earth is symbolizing the shadow of matter, which would appear in our mortal mind. So you're saying that is where we're not finding the truth?
Well, to answer your question, when you're looking at the planets, the sun, the earth, and the moon, in a lunar eclipse or at any time, if we believe that they are real, we're in violation of spiritual law. But if we understand that they are just our thought about what is really here, this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence, then they become, in my opinion, a useful tool that we can use what is surrounding us to give us clues into how we're thinking. Because one of the things that we have always been saying is how we think is what we become. Astrologically, we've always talked about coming out of these modes of mortal thought, and they're symbolized by Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius. And so this lunar eclipse, which took place on Friday, was 15 degrees Sagittarius, and it was the delivery day for the new moon that took place on May 22nd, which was 2 degrees Gemini. So there are two of the zodiacal signs that really represent at least two of the modes of mortal thought. So we got Gemini, which is the lower mind, and then we got Sagittarius, which is symbolized by what we call the higher mind. And the lower mind is instinct, appetite, preservation, survival. It's what Mary Baker Eddy calls animal magnetism. And the higher mind really is the collective consciousness. And a lot of us are really influenced from this world mind, world thought. And a lot of it is, or I should say, all of it is contingent on belief. That's the one thing that we want to understand about things that are visible and tangible, or things that are invisible but tangible, is that they don't have the same status that spirit does. Spirit is the self-existent, omnipotent, omnipresent power in this universe.
You had mentioned that the lunar eclipse that was on June 5th is the delivery day for the new moon from May 22nd. And we might have some listeners that don't know what that means. Could you explain what that delivery day means?
Yeah, see, what the new moon promises, the full moon delivers. So a lunar eclipse is a full moon. And the new moon, which is a conjunction, the full moon is an opposition. The sun and the moon are in opposition to one another. The delivery day is the full moon. We work with the phases of the moon. You've got the new moon, which is what we call the seed is in the ground, because on a new moon, you really don't see anything. Then there's the first quarter phase of the moon, and that's when what was planted on the new moon now starts to come into visibility. So that seed begins to sprout. On the full moon phase, that is when that sprout flowers. And now whatever began on that new moon is now in full visibility. And of course, as we continue and we start to talk about the 2 year, 2 month, and 28 day cycle of the solar eclipse that's going to happen on June 21st, we will include the third quarter phase of the moon, which is when that flower that bloomed on the full moon is now starting to wilt and new seeds will fall into the ground.
Yeah, that was going to be my next topic of conversation, is to talk about the solar eclipse that's going to happen on June 21st. And that's at 0 degrees Cancer. I wonder if you could dig down a bit deeper for us about what that's going to mean, it being in Cancer.
Yeah, a solar eclipse is when the Earth, the Moon, and the Sun are aligned. The Moon comes between the Sun and the Earth, symbolizing the veil of mortal mind blocking the truth of spirit. And so this particular solar eclipse being, like you said, in Cancer, and the eclipse falls in the second house, what we're looking at here, an emphasis on the values of home during this cycle.
So let's talk more about, you had mentioned the 2-year, 2-month, and 28-day cycle of a solar eclipse. What are we supposed to do with that information? What does it mean to us?
Well, like we said, it's a new beginning. The new moon is a new beginning. And so now it's more expanded, that it goes beyond the 28-day cycle from new moon to new moon. Here, you're looking at a 2-year, 2-month, and 28-day cycle. So it's got a bigger scope. A lot of the times, what I basically do is I plot them in my journal. Because like I said, on the new moon, the seed is in the ground. So you're looking at circumstances, situations, events that would surround it. The simple fact that it falls on Father's Day kind of, I think, gives it a theme already. And being in Cancer, which is the symbol for mother, so you've got the mother-father axis being set off. We work with these symbols, we work with how we internalize these images and what do they mean for me. We also measure everything against the backdrop of the bigger scheme. From a spiritual perspective, the divine omnipresence is the mother-father of humanity. And we are just a reflection of this divine principle. And what we mean by the term reflection is mind considering its own content. We are the divine idea. We are a thought in this divine mind. And the more we can turn that mind back on itself and we can start to see the origins of it, and we get further and further away from our personal mentality, our personal sense of who we think we are, the changing conditions of the personal mentality, our ability to form thoughts and opinions based on the testimony of our 5 senses becomes a veil.
Now, we've been talking a lot about spiritual sciences and divine science and Christian science, but astrology is also a spiritual science. I'm wondering if you could explain that for us.
Yeah, I think before astrology became property of newspapers and magazines and then became more of a system that was used for divination and fortune telling, it was a spiritual science. That science began with the observation of nature. And so as we start to drill down with the origins of astrology, we start with the fixed stars, which symbolize the changeless state of being. Divine omnipresence. They are the closest image that we can find to associate with or create a visible and tangible image to represent what is invisible and intangible, the spirit body. Then we have also what's called the transpersonal planets, which were Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, that symbolize what is invisible but tangible, and that would be the mental body. And the personal planets and the luminaries represent what is visible and tangible in the physical body.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, I'd like to get back to talking to you more about astrology as a spiritual science. And can we just delve a little bit deeper with what this means?
Yeah, I think using astrology as a spiritual science, what astrology, mythology, alchemy, the parables of religions really are is they're symbolic languages. Because what we're basically trying to do is we're trying to find a way of communicating about what is invisible and intangible and putting it in either visible and tangible terms or invisible but tangible thoughts. And so astrology again becomes another symbolic language. But depending on where we get off with these things, it's like the term science. A lot of us don't really understand spiritual science because we think science is empirical, that it's always empirical. As you start to learn divine science and you start to see that what is invisible and intangible is the only thing that's real, it gives you a whole different platform that you start to live from. And so the same with astrology. Rather than getting off with just where the planets are in relation to your natal chart or how they're affecting life on this planet here, based on the relationship or the mathematical relationship that they have with one another, that we can actually start to delve even deeper and work with a principle, that the changeless state of being becomes the principle. Just like our solar system has the sun at the center, the atom has a nucleus. To use astrology as a spiritual science, you need something that is changeless, something that is constant, and everything emanates from that.
So I have a question for you. I know in these last shows, we've been talking a lot about matter and mind. I'm thinking about these planets, and of course, they're of matter, but aren't we trying to turn away from matter and turn inward to ourselves, to the spirit that dwells within?
Right. And just like you say, I mean, we're trying to forsake the testimony of our senses. But at the same time, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. The thing that we want to get away from is the belief that matter is real. And once we have come to that realization that spirit is all, then what we can start to do is use the testimony of our senses to give us clues as to how we're thinking, which is exactly what we want to try and do. And so here we're getting a chance to use the movement of the celestial bodies, the aspects that form, the events, circumstances, and situations that are appearing in our human mortal minds to give us clues as to how we're thinking. Essentially, what we want to do is we want to forsake the testimony of our senses, and we want to have faith and eventually understanding of this invisible, intangible, spiritual fact of being. And the reason being is that the more we are able to have fidelity to this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence, the more it will function in our experiences, that we can eventually start to think with divine mind. We can graduate from Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, eventually to Pisces and divine mind. Let divine mind take over the scientific government of your sense of self, and that will dissolve the personal sense and will lift you into this more inclusive point of identification, the experience that we call total consciousness in yoga. Is what we're striving for. And most of us are just trying to manage the human experience. But what we're really looking for is what we call in yoga liberation, freedom. And we want to be free from this belief in matter, this belief in two powers, and rise above the law of karma, which is this principle of these polar opposite forces that are completely driven by belief, and we want to graduate to the divine law, which is the only self-existent power in this universe.
Well, we have been talking earlier in the show about Father's Day that's coming up. So what does the father represent when we're talking about a spiritual science?
Well, the father is the provider, protector, the procreator. The father here would be the creative principle. But we have to use our symbols, our thoughts about what's really here. Because I really like what it says in the Bible, Matthew 23:9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. That this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence, and I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says, because she calls it the father-mother principle. And in astrology, a lot of astrologers use the Cancer Capricorn axis to help represent that father-mother principle. Because again, it's really nothing, none of this is really about role-playing in the community. It's really about understanding ourselves from a more inclusive point. Symbols are greater than equal to something. They're expandable. So the sun symbolizes spirit or truth. The moon symbolizes mortal mind, mother, the feminine principle. And when you're working with symbols, what we're really trying to do is create a language so that we can have a way of communicating about what doesn't report in our five senses. The availability of this Father in heaven.
So we have been talking a lot about how to make that connection to this Father that's in heaven. And I know a lot of people are going to be celebrating Father's Day, you know, traditionally, you know, cards, gifts, giving thanks, those types of things. So how is it that we should celebrate Father's Day to the Father that's in heaven?
When you start to understand this divine omnipresence, that it is the perfection of being, that divine creation is right here, it's right now, and it is complete, fulfilled, it is what we call whole. There isn't anything that needs to be added to it, to be taken away from it. And that for us to live out from that consciousness, after a while, you start to see that you no longer seek things from the physical world. You stop using affirmations. You stop trying to think things into manifestation. That after a while, you start to just know the truth, that life is perfect. And that by us making our mind an avenue of awareness for this divine omnipresence and filling our thought with divine idea, the connection is found in the thought unity between divine mind and your spiritual sense of who you are. After a while, that will start to demonstrate until eventually you understand it. And then you can basically run your entire life under the government of divine law, which means now you've risen above the law of karma and you are now living out from the protection of divine law, eternal life.
So those of us who may be new to hearing this information and who would like to celebrate the Father in heaven, and we may not be at that level of consciousness that you're talking about. So how do we go about doing that? Should we show an attitude of gratitude? Do we do this through prayer? I mean, what advice do you have for us?
Well, again, prayer is communion with the Father. By us acknowledging its presence, knowing that we are the expression of this indestructible principle, is the highest form of worship. Giving up personal sense and assuming this spiritual identity starts to dissolve all of the things that don't have divine qualities for you.
And let's just review what you would say would be those divine qualities.
Well, like what it says in the Bible, spiritual fruits are peace, love, joy, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, patience, kindness, temperance. But the thing about these is that these spiritual qualities are not the same as what our corporeal sense of these are. That it's absolute peace. It's not peace that can become war. It's absolute love. It's not love that can become hate. As you start to move from the rational into the absolute, you start to move into the realms of the one, where there are no opposites.
Swami, again, we know that the solar eclipse is coming up on June 21st. Is there anything that you suggest that we can do to maybe prepare for it so that we get our maximum amount of benefit from the eclipse?
Well, I think the more that we can keep our consciousness in constant contact with divine mind, with divine consciousness, that's more preparation that you're going to need for any circumstance or situation. Once you start to know this truth will make you free, and it will make you free from the law of karma, the cycle of death and rebirth, and it will lift you into this spiritual sense of understanding yourself as the one divine life.
Well, I guess it is about that time. We have to start closing down our show for this morning. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there on the homepage, you'll see a fading banner when that comes up with the Blog Talk Radio Show. If you click that on, that will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page where you can access all of our shows that we've done. And also on the homepage, under the Products tab, is online classes. If you click that on, that will also direct you to all the online classes that Swami has to offer to further your learning experiences. So with that, we'll end our short program. Swami, do you have any of the final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the changeless state of being. And with that, namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.